Welcome to another episode of We Don't Die. I'm your host, Sandra Champlain, author of the international best-selling book called We Don't Die, A Skeptic's Discovery of Life After Death. And just a reminder, my home base is wedontdie.com, where you can always find so many things. You've got now well over 400 episodes of We Don't Die Radio. I have my second show, which is called Shades of the Afterlife, which is on iHeartRadio. Plus, you can always find my weekly Sunday gathering with medium demonstrations for free and so much more. So just go to wedontdie.com, start pressing the buttons. Our special guest today is Sue Varley. For over 40 years, Sue has been connecting with the spirit world. She says she stumbled into that connection as a young child, and that stumble turned into a lifelong walk with the unseen world. Sue is the author of the book, My Way Home, A Journey with the Spirit World and the Afterlife. Coming to us today from Richmond, British Columbia in Canada is a wonderful lady who, when she's not spending time with her grandchildren, works as an intuitive reader and medium. You can find out more about her at suevarley.com. Sue, new friend, welcome to We Don't Die Radio.
Yeah, hi. Thank you, Sandra. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you. I had no idea you were a longtime listener of my show.
Oh, yes. Shades of the Afterlife. I love to walk, and I have been listening to those podcasts for a long time and loving them. And
thank you.
Today is International Women's Day. And I would like to say to you, thank you for the work that you have been doing and that you continue to do. Thank you so much, because I know I got so much out of the episodes that I listened to and the wonderful people who are sharing their stories and their knowledge for the rest of us.
Oh, thank you for the thank you and sending it right back to you. We never know the difference we make. We never know whose life we impact. We just continue to be of service and do what we know to do in whatever field we're in and let it land
yes.
where it may. So tell us your story, Sue. So
you're
in British Columbia.
Yeah.
Always been in that area?
No, I'm originally from the East Coast of Canada, from New Brunswick.
Oh, nice.
New Brunswick.
Big
I'm
move.
A little bit closer to you in New Brunswick than I am. Yeah.
Yeah, over 3,000 miles away. Yes.
Yes.
And you got lovely family, grandchildren.
Yes.
How did your journey begin into this world?
Well, I guess for most of my life, I have had interactions with the spirit world. It did start, little things started when I was young, and then they just started to grow over time. Some of those experiences were varied, and some of them were hearing voices, having precognizant dreams, having movies playing out in my central vision. I was rescued by an angel. And I've also been just communing with souls on the other side.
So you have to tell us more. So we love stories.
Yes.
We love stories. So are there any stories that you can share about your past and some of those things? Because as a little kid, were you raised believing in this?
No, not at all. No. When I was a child, when I was very young, I don't remember anything happening with a connection to the spirit world. It was more when I was preteens when I started having these dreams, the precognizant dreams that were happening. And of course, not knowing what it was or what I would do with it, I did my best to try to ignore it. And that happened most of my life, to be honest, with everything that was happening and the experiences that kept changing and growing. But it all changed when I had a visit from my mother 10 years after she had died. And that was a pivotal moment for me in my spiritual growth, my desire to know more. And that pushed me into this spiritual journey that I've been on ever since.
What happened with Mom? Tell us about Mom.
Yeah, well, my mother had had cancer for about 5 years before she had passed. And I was working, so it was roughly 10 years after she had passed. And I was driving home from work, listening to the radio. And on the radio comes a song that was a very, very special song to my mom. She loved it. And of course, when any of us hear those things, we immediately think of our loved ones when it happens. So I'm thinking of her as the song is playing, and I'm thinking back to our days when I was young, being a teenager, early 20s, and we butted heads. I was a pretty strong-willed person, and you know, I spent a lot of my youth determined to do what I wanted to do. And we did spend a fair amount of time being angry with each other. So as I'm driving the car and I'm listening to this song, I started thinking about those days. And I thought, you know, I could have been a better daughter. And when I thought that, I started to get emotional and I started to cry. And so I got home, went in, cooked dinner for my kids, and went to bed. But that night, I woke up and I found myself standing in the hallway just outside of my bedroom. And the sight line from that hallway was into my kitchen. And there in my kitchen stood my mother. And she was dressed in a yellow outfit that was the last outfit she had on in the last photo we had of her about a week before she died. She died a week, it was around Thanksgiving. So she's standing in this yellow outfit and she's surrounded by this amazing golden vibrating light. And of course, when I saw her, I called out her name. And as soon as I did that, I was instantly with her. And we were one. We became one. And I was engulfed in that golden vibrating light. And she was no longer in a physical body. And I was no longer in a physical body. We became one in this vibrating light. And it's very difficult to describe, of course. I don't have the words to really do it justice for the beauty and the feeling that came along with that. But it was like we were one consciousness and we told each other that we loved each other. And the next thing I knew, I was awake. I was in my bed, but I was sobbing. And I thought, I'm emotional after leaving my mom. And this is the reason why I was sobbing. But as I relived that, you know, day after day, because it was such an experience that I just kept going back to because it was so amazing, this feeling of love. And, you know, I realized that the sobbing wasn't just about leaving my mom. It was about leaving that place. And it was familiar to me. And I knew I was sobbing because I didn't want to leave home. I did not want to leave that place. It was home and I knew it. So it was an amazing experience. And that was what pushed me and gratefully so, that desire to know more. And that just it opened up the floodgates, really, because I think what happened, my desire was there, my guides and the spirit world knew that desire was there. And that's all it took for things to just open wide up for me.
They give you a little taste, don't they?
Yeah.
Do you still remember that? You still remember that experience with your mom?
Oh, yes. It's very vivid. Yes.
See, that's the difference between just your everyday dream.
Yes.
And one of these visitations, there's love. There's so much that our subconscious can give us. And I think that's just us working out our subconscious, you know, scary dreams and things. But those dreams with love that have intelligence that they linger, and often for a lifetime, that's the real deal.
They do stay for a lifetime.
Every day I wake up and I was in an incredible dream and then it's gone, right? So that's the nature of my dreams. But every so often, there's one with love, never as clear as what you're describing. So then what happens? You say, okay, I got to know more. What is this?
Yes.
Tell us more about your journey, Sue.
Well, the universe likes to keep us on that path once we open it up. And, you know, as I've always said to friends and family, once you open up that pathway, there's no turning back. You start to understand what's really happening around us and in this physical world. You know, I wrote the book in order to share all of my experiences. And originally, I guess I wrote my book to share some tidbits about me with my family because they didn't know that these things were going on. Most people didn't. And you hear that from so many mediums and psychics and people who were having these experiences. They don't share it. It's very hush hush. And certainly back in 30 years ago, even 20 years ago, people really didn't want to talk about this stuff. So that was, I wrote the book because I wanted to share, and I felt that it was my responsibility to share. Kind of stepped into a job now. And that job is the sharing of my experiences so that it helps people with what maybe they're going through. Maybe they're experiencing the same things, or maybe very bizarre things that they're frightened of and need some guidance. So that's my job. But my experience after my mom, you know, everything just flew wide open, and I started going to the library, and I would take out 6-8 books on every topic that I could get my hands on. It didn't matter what it was, I was reading it. And that went on for years. But over those years, what interestingly started to happen was that people came into my life that were very knowledgeable. Psychics, mediums, healers, shamans. And these people were just being paraded in front of me. And so I gobbled up all the information that I could from them. And one woman in particular named Glenna became a mentor for me. And I learned a lot from her. So from her, I took psychic classes, psychic development classes. She helped with attempting to meditate. And I say attempting because I wasn't very good at it to begin with. And I really didn't put much store in it. We would go to classes and there'd be a group of people and we'd do meditation and people would come out of the meditation talking about connecting with someone on the other side, or maybe they went to the Akashic Records. And I'm looking around and I like got nothing. But one day when I was home, it was an afternoon, beautiful sunny afternoon, and I was at home alone. So I thought, okay, I'm just going to try to meditate on my own. And I thought, okay, well, I'll go through the process, some of the things that I've learned from Glenna, how to get started, which was just breathing exercises. So I went outside on my back deck, pulled up a lawn chair, and I sat down in the sun, and it was lovely. So I closed my eyes and I did some deep breathing and tried to relax, get myself into a very relaxed state. And I thought, I'm going to concentrate on the darkness when I close my eyes. So when my eyes are closed, and I don't know if you've ever done this, but put your vision into the darkness. And I started focusing on kind of the center of that. And the next thing I knew, I was completely unaware that I was sitting in a lawn chair on my back deck and in the sun. And in front of me was a vision of what appeared to be a strip of a road. And it was in a kind of a gray color. There wasn't any color to it. And in that road, in that gray mass that was that they showed me in this road, was movement. And it was very fast movement. I knew there was something or someone or something was moving, but very, very quickly. So you can liken it to the blades of a fan. You know that the blades are there, but you don't necessarily see them. You just see the movement. So I'm looking at this and wondering what it is. And out from this movement stepped two ladies. They were East Indian women. They were dressed in saris. And one was an older woman, appeared to be kind of a grandmother, and the other was a younger woman. And they were looking at me. And the older woman said, "We hate what they did to her." And with that, they were gone. Now, I was awake. I came out of my meditation in shock because this was my first introduction to meditation, and I was now connecting. I connected with someone on the other side.
And they were clear?
Very clear. Very clear and a beautiful colored saris on. And the older woman spoke, and then they were gone, just like that. And of course, I didn't know what she was referring to. I don't know who these ladies were. I never did find out. But it was like they connected with me because they saw me. So they knew that I was there. They knew that they could communicate with me. And afterwards, I thought many, many times about that experience. And certainly about that road that was behind them and what they stepped out of. And I came to the conclusion that I was looking at the highway of souls, that that movement behind them continued as they spoke to me. And so, of course, that realization was mind-blowing, to say the least. And that started me on my meditations to connect to the other side.
When you continue to meditate, do these kind of experiences happen?
Yes. Yes. So when I discovered that, I was very excited. I wasn't frightened. Good. And so the next thing I did was I spoke to a friend of mine. And now, at this point, so this was probably 20 plus years ago. So I didn't have a whole lot of people that I could speak to about what I experienced. But I did have one friend who knew a little bit about what I was moving towards, that I was gathering knowledge. I had this desire to find things out. So I asked him if he would mind if I attempted to connect with his mom, who had passed over several years prior. I'd never met her. And so he agreed. And I said, okay, well, I really don't know what I'm doing, but just give me her full name and I'll run with that and see what happens. So again, I went home, just maybe about a couple of weeks after the first episode that I had, sat down on my couch, got comfortable, kind of went through the same process as I had. But before I got into what I consider now and call as a, it's a trance meditation, I called her name three times. Now, I didn't know what I was doing. Maybe I was getting a lot of guidance from my own guides on what to do. But I called her name three times, asked her to join me, and then I just attempted to go back into that trance state again, which I did. And the first vision I got was a checkered board. And I, of course, I don't know what that means. And then that vision faded. And I had a vision of a woman sitting, it was all black and white, the vision, but a woman sitting in a boat. And she was, it was a sunny day. And she was probably mid-age, I think. She might have been in her 30s, maybe early 40s. But she had long black hair and I could see it moving kind of in the wind. And she had a smile on her face. And I could tell to the side that there was I knew there was a man standing and that there was a male child. Now that I intuitively knew that there was some kind of a connection with her, that she was letting me know that. And she didn't speak to me. She just showed me this beautiful, serene vision. And then she was gone. So again, I was very excited and I called my friend and said, I'm coming over because I think I just met your mother. And so when I got to his place, I told him what I saw with the beginning being this checkered board. Did that mean anything to him? And he thought for a bit and he said, well, actually, he said, when we were kids, our family would go to a park that had the checkered board tables and we would sit and play checkers. So she was giving me a sign initially to let me know I had the right person, that her son could connect to that. And then I asked him for a photograph of her because I didn't know what she looked like. And there she was as she had presented herself to me in one of the photographs from him.
Love that.
Yeah. So there's been a lot of that that's happened over the years. Many, many different experiences that have happened.
What I like, Sue, not to interrupt, is just that it's different. There's, and everybody's story is valuable, but I think once we hear stories of what's possible with someone, all of a sudden you think, oh, if that happened to her, maybe I could do a practice similar. Yes. So I think hearing different experiences and how to connect and how to quiet the mind and looking at that dark spot with your eyes closed and things to me, quieting the mind is access to everything.
It is.
It is that highway to the souls right there.
It sure is.
It is. So I love
to quiet those minds, but we can do it. And the other, the other factor, huge factor involved in this is desire. If we don't have that desire to connect, it's very difficult to do it. I think everyone gets signs from their loved ones. Whether we pick it up is another story, but we will over our lifetime, I believe everyone has a connection with the spirit world that they could say, no, that was nothing. It really wasn't, my mother. It really wasn't, Aunt Mary that wanted to connect with me. But when you get a real desire to want to connect to the other side, boy, oh boy, they're going to do everything they can to connect with you. And your guides are really going to open up experiences for you.
I think the spirit world knows that eventually we'll all be together, right? So if nobody comes knocking, they're not going to open the door. Certainly they're involved in our life. We've seen in good medium demonstrations how close our loved ones are.
Yes.
But to have that desire, to me, looks like we're not just waiting for something to happen maybe someday, is that we're taking the time to quiet our mind and have that desire to connect, and even saying, okay, I'm going to do it Monday, Wednesday, and Friday when I first wake up. You know, that's the desire, talking to your loved one, as opposed to maybe it happens. I talk to a number of people who say, oh, I've never gotten a sign from my loved one.
I know, me too. Yeah.
They're not thinking about their loved one. They're not talking to their loved one. They're very busy with life and not slowing down. And that dialogue, I think, helps to let them know that, hey, you know, I would love to see whatever it is, ladybug or whatever it is.
Yeah, you know? That's right. Whatever you want to send me, I'll accept it. And I'll accept it as an actual connection. I won't disregard it to say, well, that really wasn't, you know, from the other side.
Yeah, but our minds can be brutal, can't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because we're stuck in this 3D physical world where this is, we think there's nothing beyond this. Obviously, things have changed so much over the last 30 years where people are just, they're so hungry for information, and it's fabulous to see. And for all of us and the work and the research you've done, Sandra, as well, spreading that information for people who are just dying for that information is amazing. And it is our job. It is our responsibility to do that, is what I feel.
Yeah. What are we going to share next on your journey?
Well, let's see. Besides having the medium and the visions and calling people in, other experiences that I've had can be considered a bit far-fetched, even if what I just said about the vision seemed strange.
Not to this crowd.
I know, and I love it. It's nice to be able to share these stories. One afternoon, I was over at a friend's place, and we were having some wine, having some appies, relaxing in the sun and enjoying the company. And it was getting later in the day, so I thought, okay, time to go home. So I went out, got into my car. Now, I'd had a little bit to drink. I wasn't like over the top, but I'm like, okay, as we all do, once in a while, we might make some bad decisions. And that was a bad decision on my part. I got into my car and I started up the vehicle. However, the next thing I knew, as I'm looking out my windshield, and in front of me is standing an enormous angel from ground to sky that encompassed the whole space in front of me. So that's all I could see. And was presented as a white being with white robes. And I couldn't see the face. There was no, that was not clear to me, but the robe was very clear. And sort of tucked in around the robe was me. Now, I'm sitting in my car with the car going, my hands on the steering wheel, and I'm looking out at myself being with an angel. And I had a smile on my face. And I remember the me in the car looking at this scene and thinking, why do I have a smile on my face? And the next thing I knew, I was in my parkade. My car was neatly parked into my parking stall. And I was sitting there, wide awake, just as I am right now, and realizing that I didn't get there on my own. I was moved. And as I say in my book, because alcohol is involved, many people will poo-poo this story that really didn't happen. I know it happened. It's as clear to me now as it was when that experience happened. And I know that angels rescue us when we need to be rescued. They don't take physical form, but they can show up when they need to show up. And I think that was a rescue for me to take me off the road, but also to save me and someone else that may very well have been on the road with me. That was a pretty astounding situation, that another one that I relived many times about how it happened. And yes, you could go, if that was the only thing that had ever happened to you in a spiritual scenario, you would probably say that really didn't happen. But when that experience happened for me, I had already had so many other interactions with the spirit world that I knew it was real. And so I love to share that story. Lots of people don't accept the story, I'm sure, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah, who cares, right? It's, you're not trying to convince anybody of anything.
No.
And I think what's important is these are your experiences.
Yes.
Someone emailed me and wanted me to convince them in an email of why they should believe in the afterlife. Like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
It's been 25 years I've been researching this. I've had my own mind-blowing experiences.
Yes.
If I could give them a thumb drive with everything that I've ever experienced, maybe that would take them into the knowing.
Yeah.
There's nothing I can say. People need to have their own experiences. And whether it's a sign from a loved one, I think it's good to keep a little logbook or diary, journal,
yeah,
pay attention to things like this.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that happen. And so no one can take my experiences away from me because I've witnessed some pretty weird things.
Yeah. Yes.
Right up there with the best of them.
Yes.
And people would think, oh my God, you know, it's no way that's possible. I'm not here to convince you.
No.
You go on your own journey. You find what you're passionate about. You start exploring different things. Miracles
Absolutely.
Happen.
And some people are just not going to go there in this particular lifetime. You know, they're not on a spiritual, we're all spiritual beings. We don't have to attain that. But I believe that with every life we live, because I know that we don't cease to exist, that we continue on. With every life that we come in here with, I believe that we bring our spiritual growth with us into that particular lifetime. And we have a little bit of something to pick up on with that next lifetime. It might open itself up to us when we're young. Maybe it'll wait until it's the very end of our lives for us to open it up. But I believe that it's there. And it's very difficult when people haven't had any experiences like this to say that there's something beyond the physical, to try and convince them. It's like going from 0 to 60. They're like, no, I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me. Well, of course it makes no sense, because they haven't had those little tidbits, and those little tidbits hadn't grown into some pretty amazing experiences for you to to now solidly believe on what's happened and what's happened with you, where that growth has taken you. And then you're just, as I said earlier, once you go down this road and you gather all of this year after year after year experiences, you have to say, well, okay, it's real. It's more real than what this is.
Yeah, we have no idea, I think, looking through our own eyes of the miracle that we live in. And I know you've listened to the shows that you've heard this before, but if we think we're just on planet Earth, that's got some basic elements to it, right? Rock and earth and water and plants and stuff, that everything we see, everything that we have, all stems from these basic elements. To me, that's miraculous. The fact that you and I are talking, we're on Zoom right now recording this, we're not connected other than this face to face. We're looking at each other. Yes. You know, years ago, when this technology first came out, I thought, oh my gosh, I mean, this is the craziest thing. But we human beings, whatever it is in us, just takes something that is a real big deal and makes it no big deal. It's just part of nature of being human. So I think maybe we've bought into this illusion of life to get our money's worth out of this experience, you know, for this good and bad. Can you talk about what your belief is of why we're here? The opportunity for being a human being on Earth.
Yes. Yes. Well, I guess, you know, my belief is that we're here just for learning. We're here for the learning, the growth, those experiences, whatever happens in our lifetime. And those are all the good and all the bad, what we consider good and what we consider bad, because everybody likes to put those labels on the experiences in our lives. But really, I think when we have chaotic times in our lives or what we consider to be bad times, from those experiences turn out some pretty amazing, spectacular shifts in our lives and certainly in our thought process. And all of those make up this one little quick life that we're here to live. I read many, many years ago in one of my books that, you know, an 80-year lifespan is considered maybe a couple of weeks on the other side, you know, a little mini vacation. We agree to come here in the physical body so that we can experience all of this. And that helps us grow, certainly grow on a spiritual level. And that's the whole point, is that we want to grow on a soul level. We can do that here in the physical, but we can also do that when we go back home. We can do some growth too. We can do some studies. One of the stories I can share with you about knowing about that is after my experience with my mom, at that particular time in my life, I had met a friend of mine. She had lost her mom a couple of years after. No, it wasn't actually. It would have been around the same time that I had this visit with my mom. So probably 10 years after my mom died, her mother had passed, I had met her at work, a new job that I had. And so we started talking, getting to know each other, just kind of at lunch times and chit-chatting. And then we got on to some more personal topics, and she told me that her mom had passed and that she was desperate to talk to her mother. She was grieving. She thought, I have to do this. I have to figure out a way to connect. And I remember at the time, because when she was talking about that, I was at the shutdown stage, because some of the things that had happened to me earlier, I wasn't accepting. And I was frightened of certain things that had occurred in my life on a spiritual level. And so I'd shut it down at this point. But she was the one who started this whole topic again, and I was trying to persuade her not to maybe go down that road, but that didn't happen. So she eventually did some work, got into meditation, started learning about chakras, our chakras, and how to open up our chakras, particular our third eye, our crown chakra, that allows us to communicate to the other side. And she was successful one day in meditation, and she connected with her mother, and she had a conversation with her mother, albeit within here, but that was the conversation. So that was kind of happening at the same time that I had the visit with my mother. So we kind of came together at the same time, like, okay, let's blow this open kind of thing about the spirit world. And so I asked her if she would try to connect with my mother. And she said she would. And I'd written down a couple of questions that I wanted her to ask my mom. And she connected with my mother. Now, I had already had my connection with my mom through, you know, the out-of-body experience that I'd had. And so the conversation that my friend had with my mom was pretty amazing. The information that came through from my mother. She talked about who greeted her on the other side. At this point, I'd had two sisters that were now in spirit as well. And so I asked about them. And she gave some information about my sisters. And then we asked her about where she was. Because that was, of course, that's got to be one of these questions that we all want answered is, you know, where are you? Like, how am I talking to you? And Mom described it as just a beautiful, loving energy source where nothing exists but love. And this, one of my sisters had cerebral palsy, and she, in her lifetime, she could communicate, but she didn't speak well. She had other ways that she communicated with the family, which was great. But Mom had said, when I'd asked about through my friend Melanie, she asked about my sister Peggy. And Mom said, and she laughed and said, "Oh, Peggy, she's a chatty Kathy." In other words, you know, she was just going about her business, talking and living her life on the other side. And my other sister, she said, I wouldn't be able to connect with her at that particular time because she was in school. She was learning. Yeah.
You've experienced a lot of grief.
Yes, yes. My mom died, and then my two sisters died. Very, very close. My sisters were within 6 months of each other. My mom died in 1990. One sister died in 98, and the other one died in 99.
Mm-hmm. Never so those, easy.
Yeah, and those are all those grieving things, too, that also push the desire to find out more. So there's been so, so many different experiences that I've written about in my book that include channeling, experiencing channeling side of life as well. Yeah. So many different things, and I love them all. And of course, being an intuitive reader now, that started about 10 years ago. So that was brought on by a shaman who just handed me a deck of cards and said, because whenever I saw her, we kind of would play with her cards. And then she eventually just gave me a deck and said, "Here you go, start working." You know, which I did. And I just played with the cards and had fun doing, attempting to do readings for my family and my friends. And that was probably about maybe a year, year and a half that I really diligently studied these cards and the attempt to connect the cards and communicate with spirit through the cards. And then one evening, I had a visit, a dream, from my mentor, Glenna, because she had passed. I think it was in 2016 that she passed. And in the dream, in the visit, she came into a house, walked past me, went through a door, and all these people came through the door and started following her. And I'm looking at this thinking, okay, where are we going to go? And I go through the door to find out what's going on. And there behind the door is Glenna sitting at a table. And I was thrilled to see her. And I said, Glenna, and I went over to her and she looked at me, and around this table were all these people. And she said, I want you to tell these people that you're going to start doing readings for them. And I said that in my dream and in my visit. And I woke up the next day and thought, okay, I don't feel I'm ready to do readings for other people and charge for it. But obviously Glenna thinks I am. So that started another spiritual avenue for me. I contacted a metaphysical shop and did a reading for the owner. And I started doing my intuitive readings at the shop. And I'm still there today.
That's incredible. I've been asking mediums lately to take on, if you're not already, the 10-minute guarantee. You might be doing this, that if somebody doesn't feel a connection or you don't feel a connection, either you postpone it or the person doesn't pay.
Yes.
Would you honor that?
Oh, absolutely.
Readings?
Yes, I have in the past. Not very often, because through my cards, it's just amazing the information that comes through for people. And I love it. And
I think it takes away the fear, Sue.
Yeah.
I'm somebody who was told once that you offer a money back guarantee, it takes away people's fear of trying it. Mm-hmm. Every class we offer, because we have medium classes online and some other things, everything's got a money back guarantee. There's only been a handful of people, for technology reasons or sound or whatever, that it hasn't worked for them. So I honor that. But I think with a medium, the same thing happens. It's very rare that somebody will need that, but I think it will comfort somebody, you know, that I can try this.
My
I can trust this.
Thing. I mean, I remember years ago, before I even got into any of this and just kind of went to psychics for a fun thing, for a reading. But I remember thoughts coming through my mind about, I would hear of people who had lost maybe children that had died or loved ones. And I remember this feeling, this, I've got to do something about this feeling. And if I could connect to help these people with their grief, then I want to do it. And it was like they were fleeting thoughts, but they were planted there for, I guess, years down the road. You know, speaking about guarantees, the last connection I made for someone had asked me, actually someone who'd helped edit my book, asked me if I would try to connect to their brother-in-law who had just passed about a month before. And I said, yes, I'm happy to do that, to, you know, give some hope to the family, because her brother-in-law had basically, he'd been in an accident at the age of 17 and passed at the age of 53. And he had spent his whole life in a care facility, feeding tubes. Yeah. Which I didn't know about prior to my connection. So I did. I said, you know what? I'll go in. I'll call his name as I usually do. I'll do my best, but I'll give you what I get. And if it doesn't resonate and you're not happy, then I am not charging you for anything. So I went into my meditation as usual. I called his name and boy, did he show up. It was amazing. And not only did he show up, his uncle showed up and I'm like, what's going on here? Because I didn't even call his uncle, but I found out afterwards, his uncle passed shortly after he did. So they were both in the spirit world around the same time. And the funny thing was, is that the uncle, he spoke to me and he was behind a desk and he said to me, what are you doing here? And I laughed. I was like, okay. And I said, well, getting closure for the family. And then he disappeared. But so in that, absolutely. When I'm doing that, those trying to connect in those meditations and that medium work, yes, I totally agree that if there isn't anything in there that's connecting, then it's fine.
That's great. I was looking at your website. I was. And you have a great Betty Eady quote that I want to read and then just want to know your thoughts on service. The quote is, whatever we become here in mortality is meaningless unless it is done for the benefit of others. Our gifts and talents are given to us to help us serve. And in serving others, we grow spiritually. Yeah. Could you talk a bit about service and being of service?
Well, yes. Back to what I had said earlier about my job and my responsibility. That is it. It is to be in service. It is to move forward with this, not to keep what I know hidden and to myself, because our lives are not about us. Our lives are about other people. That's where the service comes in. We kind of make the mistake as human beings that it's all about us, about getting what we need to have, you know, obtaining what we think we can't live without. But in reality, our job is to serve, to put out that love, to help people. And that's what I try to do. And that's been my direction for a long time, is to share those things and be in service to people. My readings are in service. And I know there are days, I've been doing it a long time, and there are days where I think, I'm not going to do readings anymore. I'm just going to just focus on, you know, the medium work and connecting with loved ones, you know, for people, which is fabulous too. But then I go and I have somebody wants a reading. I have a reading and it's amazing, the information. And people tell me they feel so good and so much lighter than before the reading and feel hopeful. And when that happens, I'm like, well, I can't stop doing this. I just have to keep going forward with it. So that's being in service for me. That's spreading the word and helping people grow spiritually, and certainly help people in all those times, because we're never going to escape. Any of us are going to escape the grieving process. So when that happens, I'm here for people to get some confirmation, maybe, that their loved ones are still alive.
Yeah, a good reading can bring people back to life, because I know you can die inside when a loved one passes. I asked you about being of service, Sue, just because I think whatever field somebody's in, or even if it's just a passion of yours, anytime we can make a difference with another person in any way, the great Silver Birch said, service is the coin of the spirit world. So just set your eyes on being of service and of being loving and sharing love, and you can't go wrong. Sue,
and
tell us.
Being gratitude.
Yes, that's a biggie. How can people get in touch with us and remind us of the title of your book?
Yes, yes. It is called My Way Home, and that was directed from my guides. I didn't name the book. They did. I did the subtitle, A Journey, yes, with the Spirit World and the Afterlife. And of course, you can find me at suevarley.com. I do have a Facebook page, Spiritual Guidance with Sue. And yeah, all the information about me is on there.
Perfect. Sue, thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thank you. I loved it.
It was great. And for our listener or our viewer, thank you for taking the time to be here with us. I know for me, I always get something out of these episodes, and I think you do too. You just pull the information to you.
I do. We never stop learning. It's a constant thing. You know, we've got to keep evolving, keep grabbing all that information.
We do. And it also helps for us to remember who we are, because going through life, you know, you'd think I'm all rosiness and loveliness when I wake up in the morning. Oh, the afterlife is real. No, I wake up and I forget all this. So it helps me reading a good book or listening to a good podcast or having these interviews to know. So to our listener or our viewer, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. For as a reminder, you can go to wedontdie.com. That's my home base where you can just find so much. Take me up on my offer in the bottom of the page. You can get a free copy of my book with your name and your email address. It says just the first few chapters, but it's the whole book. And if you're experiencing grief, chapter 10 is how to survive grief. So there's lots there for you. And 2:00 New York time every single Sunday for the past 4 years, we're into our fifth year now, we do a free Sunday gathering inspirational service. It's non-denominational. There's music videos. There's always inspirational talk. And then there's a medium demonstration included. So that's all at wedontdie.com. So in closing, my name is Sandra Champlain. I'm always so happy to be your host on We Don't Die Radio. I do believe that life is an education for the soul and that your life here on earth is important. Give yourself a big hug. You are special. You are one of a kind. Close your eyes. Go into that dark spot in your eyes there and take some deep breaths. You're not going to be perfect every time. It's like building muscles. You have to just practice. But to have that desire, like Sue is talking about, that's so important. Your loved ones are with you. They're very much alive, and you will see them again. So I really want to thank you for listening or for watching, and we'll see you again soon.